Hello again, and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you, whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
I'm Ron.
And I'm Jean Marie. Together, we're the hosts of Podcast DX.
Today, we're going to explore a condition that many have heard of, but don't really fully understand. SMA, or spinal muscular atrophy, is a rare inherited neuromuscular disorder that can affect infants, children, or adults, depending on the type, and it causes progressive muscle weakness and atrophy due to the loss of motor neurons in the spinal cord.
And we are honored to be joined today by our guest,
Giselle
Brown. Okay. And she is a proud native from Greensville,
Mississippi,
now residing in Cleveland, Mississippi. And she is the owner and operator of Giselle's Salon and Spa. So we all need to head her way because I think everyone could use a beautification.
Yes.
And she is dedicated not only to transforming people's appearance and their looks, but also impacting the lives of the clients she has and those that she works with. A graduate of Delta State University and Goshen Cosmetology School, Giselle's journey began with a background in speech and hearing science, much like our sound engineer over there, Jack. And her passion then transformed into that for hair and beauty, and that took center stage. And now she helps people beyond her career. Giselle is a proud mother of three amazing children who all have spinal muscular atrophy, a rare genetic disease, as Lita said. Her journey is filled with challenges and blessings, and she has been encouraging others and reminds people that the power of faith and that even in tough times, you can keep going and support yourself and your family. And she is here today to share her personal journey and is going to tell us about her life raising three amazing children who also are living with SMA. Thank you ever so much for joining us today. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me, and I'm really glad to be here and to start and share my story.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Yes, we certainly do want to get that story out. The more people, the better, and that'll lead to research dollars. Let's start with the basics. Spinal muscular atrophy is caused by a mutation in the SMN1 gene, which is responsible for producing a protein vital to the survival of motor neurons. When this protein is deficient, motor neurons die, leading to muscle wasting. And atrophy is another word for wasting.
And SMA is classified into several types based on the age of the individual and the onset and severity. So type 1 appears before 6 months of age, and infants may have issues with breathing and swallowing. Type 2 is an onset between 6 to 18 months of age, and these toddlers will still have challenges walking. Type 3 appears in childhood or adolescence, and individuals may require some assistance walking. And then type 4 is adult onset, and this often coincides with milder symptoms. And from what we have read, SMA is inherited in an autosomal recessive pattern, meaning that a child must inherit a mutated gene from both parents to develop the condition. Is that your understanding as well? And so are you and the children's father, you are both carriers of the gene?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
So we are both carriers. We did have to get tested because no one in either of our family that we know of or our parents knew of had this disease. And I hate to call it a disease, but you know, that's what they have it as. So yes, we went to Jackson and just both got tested when we found out that my first child had it. And to find out, yes, we both tested positive for having that gene. And when we have kids, it's a one out of four chances that our child will have that. So it's very, very rare, but and we most definitely didn't know all three was going to have it, but we just, those were the cards we was dealt in life.
Right. Yeah, that's it's rough. And in sharing your story, can you let our listeners know which type do your children have and how they first got the diagnoses? In other words, was it from birth or 6 months or older?
So, yes, I am from Mississippi, and of course, Mississippi is on the later end of getting things around versus the rest of the world. My son, he was actually the first baby that was diagnosed in Mississippi through the newborn screening. So,
wow.
So it was just a blessing, and God had his hand on me. But, of course, SMA has been around for so long ago, all these new treatments. So instead of me going to the doctors, I blood testing, of course, when they're first born. And so at about 3 to 4 weeks later, I just received the call saying that, hey, he's the first baby being tested. It's been added to the newborn screening. He has it. We need you all to come to Jackson immediately. Mm-hmm. And Jackson is just our capital in where they have the children's hospital.
Okay, how far was that for you to travel?
It's about 2 hours away.
Oh wow, that's a lot.
Yes,
that's a lot of pressure to put on a young parent, you know.
Yes, and at the time I'm like, okay, I never heard of this. What is it? Mm-hmm. And then the first thing they told me was just don't look online, and I'm like, oh. That's the first place I'm going to look.
Of course,
right.
But they did let us know that everything was just new. Everything is transitioning. These new medications have gotten put out, and it's just changing. So I didn't understand it at first. I'm panicking. I'm calling my mother at the time, and I just really didn't know what to expect, what to do, and especially with that being my first child.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Giselle, this is Ron. What were some of the first symptoms that you've noticed in your children, and was it the same for all three of them? And then also, and this is probably a bigger question, can you tell us how SMA has impacted your life with your children having it as well?
Yes. Okay. So, first off, of course, I had my little one. He's 5 years old. His name is Derek. Derek is five. I have a three-year-old now. Her name is Cadence. And then I also have a one-year-old, and her name is Melody. So Derek, of course, he was their first baby diagnosed through the newborn screening. When we spoke with our neurologist, the second we found out we was pregnant again, I was actually nervous to have another child, but hey, life happens, here we go. And so we waited on those results because I was kind of scared to do the testing where they go inside the sac, and I didn't just want to do that at the time. And Dad, we was like, hey, whatever it is, we're going to get through it and we're going to go with it. Well, we got her screening back. We got those results back quickly, knowing, you know, what had happened with Derek. And so, again, we found out, yes, she has SMA as well. With Derek, he would sit up. He would hold his bottle. So it wasn't anything prominent at first. And then when it got to, he wasn't crawling. He was a pandemic baby. So Derek was born December of 2019, and then the world shut down. So it's like even when they wanted him to do therapy and everything, he couldn't because we was in, you know, quarantine. Life was happening all around the world. So he was about 1 year old when he finally just got a chance to begin therapy. Of course, after that year had passed, the world started to open up a little bit more. So he wasn't crawling. So we end up doing OT and PT, occupational therapy, and physical therapy first.
I'm sorry, I'm gonna go.
And actually, Derek, okay, you want me to keep going?
Yeah, go ahead. She went to try to calm the pups.
Okay, no problem. So we did OT and PT. So Derek actually ended up walking before he crawled. But when he walked, and then let me rewind just a little bit. They did receive this drug. It's called Zolgensma. So Zolgensma is a drug that fortunately their insurance paid for it. And basically, they're missing the protein that our body needs to function. And so Zolgensma is an infusion, and it was 1 hour long. They stayed in the hospital overnight. And once that was received, basically, it's not a cure, but it's the, as I was described, the closest thing to it. So how our make a circle with your hand and art and take your finger, our genes and proteins are working itself. Just take your finger and roll around that circle. Okay, the infusion that they receive is not in the inside, it's on the outside feeding in. And so that is the protein that they receive to try to help just them receive the function that we have normally and that they're missing. And so after that, for some babies, when they were doing like the research process, it worked. They're living normal lives. And then for some of them, they still have to have Spinraza. And Spinraza is just another medication that they had for out of several, but Spinraza was the most known working medication that children receive, that it kind of was like a reconstructing for their bone mass. If I'm hoping I'm saying that right, but if that makes sense. And so it's kind of rejuvenating that bone marrow. And it helps them just kind of, build up their function and keep their muscle, their muscle tone. And so if that works for them, they continue on that. And, who knows, it may be for the rest of their life, along with therapy, or we just don't know how medicine is just evolving and things are changing every day. So with that being said, with Eric, he actually has a surgery coming up. He has also, of course, a perfectly curved spine, thank God. But he does walk with his hip. He walked late, and I'm thankful that he's walking because most babies, especially with type one, they're bed bound. And he just kind of started walking out of nowhere, but that hip socket didn't fully come in. So we're hoping to have surgery December. Prayers, please. And
Yes,
then when they go
absolutely.
in and kind of correct that socket, we're hoping that he will walk normally versus with like a limp. But he started kindergarten this week, so he actually finished his first week of
Good
kindergarten.
for him.
Excellent.
We do, and it's crazy how life works because I have a background in speech, so he is speech delayed, and I'm able to work with him along with him doing therapy. So, but of course, you have muscles within your tongue, within your mouth, all over your body, so it's kind of hard dealing life to life because you're not knowing if. Okay, is this SMA going on, or if this something else, neurology, delayed? And so you just, a lot of people they may say, oh, it's just his SMA, but he may even be dealing with a little autism. We just really don't know because everything is so new, and people were kind of blaming on SMA. But hey, my other two, I can't say that because with Cadence and Melody. Cadence and Derek, which is my second child, they have the exact same type. They have zero copies. And when Cadence came along, Cadence actually started walking at 9 months old. So it was amazing. And in my everybody was telling me, hey, she's moving too fast. And I'm like, no, she's doing what she's doing because I didn't experience that in my first child. So my Kaden, she's 3 years old now. She did have Zolgensma, But she never received the Spinraza. She's walking fine, she's hopping, she's getting ready to start tumbling classes.
Oh, nice.
She's in Head Start now. Yeah, so she's talking well. Look, she knows her ABCs, colors, 1, 2, 3. So it's just amazing to see how they have the exact same thing, the exact same number of copies, and she's moving and progressing so much differently than Derek was. And so it's just a lot to kind of take in, like, well, wow, as they say, every child is different,
Yes.
whether they have a and whether they have a diagnosis or something, or just a day-to-day, learning thing that they're coping with. So that was exciting to see, exciting to know. And then fast forward, Cadence was moving a little fast because here goes little Melody coming along. And my Melody, she is 1 year old now. Melody is, she's crawling and she's walking. However, it kind of came, they started her with OT and PT because we didn't know which direction she was going to lead, closer to Cadence or closer to Derek. But she's kind of in between. So she started crawling at about 1, and then she's walking, but she's kind of just, she's scared to let go, so she's holding on. But it's just great to see that and that she's doing that. And it's just so much different from child to child, and especially what I have experienced with Derek. So so that's pretty much it. Life changes. Luckily, I am an entrepreneur, and I can count on my schedule is more flexible than dad. So I deal with him a little more, but he's great. We take him to therapy, we take him to the appointments, and back and forth to Jackson every few days, every few weeks when they was first born. And people are on the outside looking in. You never know what a person is going through and how their life is changing every day.
Yeah, and you seem to have an amazing outlook, which is very helpful because having one child with that is one thing, but with three, especially being young, I mean, there's a lot of challenges. So I love the outlook you have and positive attitude that you're displaying, and that's phenomenal.
And I was going to ask Ron a question when she mentioned that Derek started walking before crawling. Didn't Ron and I went to grad school together. In the back of my mind somewhere, I'm thinking that when that happens, you go back and you train the person to crawl also, don't you? Even though they're walking? For
So
some reason, that's in the back of my mind.
Well, it kind of just happened, and I don't know if it was like mimicking the other kids he was around, because in that process, my mother passed, and she kind of helped me with my baby. And so I had to put him in like a, it was hard to try, like, hey, my son is not like the typical child. So, and my mother is deceased now. Where he's going to go, I have to work, and it's hard, and especially without having the resources. We have very, very little resources here in Mississippi. And so yeah, you have your advocates, and our advocate, she has been great, outstanding. But it's kind of hard because everything is still like 4 and 5 and 6 hours away. So I end up trusting some people I knew and clients. They got them into early, they have an early start program here. And so we started with early start, and I'm honestly not sure if it just was him being on top of therapy, but him being around other kids is moving as well. So he was walking first, cruising, and I want to say he didn't start crawling until maybe like 2 and a half. And it's just something that he just picked up. Because
From what I was looking up while you were talking, there is some there is a problem, not a problem, but there could be an issue with that. So I'm going to send you a couple of links on email, and maybe you want to ask the PTOT. Ron and I are recreational therapists, but maybe you want to ask the therapist if they feel it's important to add crawling therapy
To
to their
him.
regular.
Oh, well, he crawls now perfectly.
Good,
He
good.
crawls around, but they did tell me that it was his like trunk support. So their trunk support are very, very weak. So it's just the process of them building up that muscle retention and their muscles realizing, hey, I have to work a little bit harder.
Sure.
So Derek is still in OTPT, but he's just not, he can't run. He can't run like the typical, mm-hmm. of course, 5-year-old, but he's now starting to kind of step up mm-hmm. and down the steps on his own.
Okay.
So it's just different things that he's doing and he's not doing. And we work every day for him to just progress and learn those day-to-day activities because mm-hmm. mom and dad will not always be around.
Right, right.
So we have to teach him. We just got him potty trained. He has muscle weakness very bad in his hands, but hey, you have to pull your pants down and your pants up. And it's just a point of not babying them, but also being firm. So he's able to go to the bathroom now by himself. He's able to dress himself. He's moved slower. We do have to help him, but he has the basics of knowing, hey, I have to do this on my own. Mm-hmm.
So in my job, I work in a transition program. So my students are a little older. They're 18 to 22. But okay. one of the things that we emphasize is advocating for themselves because a lot of my students have either cerebral palsy or spina bifida or muscular dystrophy.
Yes.
Though they're probably the most common ones that my students have. And some are able to independently take care of their ADLs, their activities of daily mm-hmm. living. And there's others that cannot do anything at all just because mm-hmm. of the severity of the disability that they
right.
have. But one of the things that we do, especially for the students who don't have the physical ability, it's pushing them to advocate for their needs. Because, like you say, mom and dad aren't always going to be around. And in the type of program that we have, we're pushing them to be independent, to get their own apartments out in the community, et cetera, et cetera. And the majority of them that do wind up moving out need assistance. So they call them personal assistance. And that's stuff that we can talk about off air. But it's something that the state pays folks to help take care of people with okay. disabilities. But the thing is, the individual, in this case our students, it's incumbent upon them to advocate for their needs and not just sit around and wait for somebody to do for them.
Yes, yes. And I'm glad you said that because I was just having a conversation and like I said, Derek started kindergarten mm-hmm. and it's nothing wrong with they have something here that's called self-containment.
Yep.
And I said, no, I don't want him in self-containment. I said, it's nothing wrong with it. And if he needs it, we're going to let him do that. But right now, you all have the resources, especially within the public school system. We're going to give him an aid. But right now, he went this first week and he walked. They did have to have modifications.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being able to walk all the way down the hall and around the corner, they moved his classroom mm-hmm. to right by the pickup and drop off door. Because now if he can have a routine and he adapts quickly, why not let him try on his own versus just, hey, no, we're going to sit him down and do him. I feel like there's limiting a child. And I try to push all my kids to their ability, not
Absolutely.
Too much to where they can't do it. And I understand. But yes, so yeah, I most definitely advocation mm-hmm. and having that person like, hey, assistance. And they will need that. And who knows for the rest of their life.
Right.
Let me follow up with that. Do you have an IEP for him right now? An individualized
yes,
education?
Yes.
Okay,
so,
great, great.
Yeah. Yes, sir. And I get that a lot, but yes, sir. I'm kind of a mama bear, but I'm on it. He has an IEP mm-hmm. and he, like I said, he's been in OTPT and
yes.
speech since he was one.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Sounds like you're on top of it. And
yes.
that's fantastic.
And he'll watch as you advocate for him now and he'll learn those skills.
Yep.
And then in the future, he'll be able to do it for himself.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Well, if Jean was here, but she's not right now, she was gonna mention that obviously everything that you've gone through has been a major adjustment, and we already talked about the fact that now they're starting to go to school. Do you see anything yeah. in the future, as I'm gonna throw in our therapy, Is there something at the school that they can include in their therapy as far as recreational skills?
So they also have therapy at the school, so it's just teaching him to be like in the classroom based setting versus the ones that he take through performance therapy. They're a great therapy program as well. It's called performance therapy, and they teach him just the outside life of school, so he kind of give a taste of both worlds. And that's why I say just one step, one day at a time. I'm constantly learning. Me and Dad, and you know, we're going to fight this thing together. The great thing is, because I'm, you know, very God-fearing and in my Bible, but I believe in just breaking those generational curses. And I was told, and I may be wrong, but correct me, but I was told by his neurologist, because I asked about what if they ever want to have children. And so I was informed that it is very, very likely, and that their children would not have SMA. But when their children come, it's very important when you're mating, you know, when you're involved with someone intimate, that you get those tests done, because of course, and I'm praying that their children won't have SMA, but when their children get ready to have kids, they need to kind of make sure to prevent, or if they can best prevent having kids with someone that may have their mutation as them, to where their cycle will continue. So yeah, I think that's important. And I feel like, especially, I'm not sure of other places, but in Mississippi, we lack those things of knowing, hey, what genes that you carry that may have the diagnosis that can lead to these, you know, other mutations, other things. And it's just good to know, because everyone is not fortunate to get that genetic testing or things done to prevent, because they can be prevented, but hey, life happens.
So Giselle, the symptoms of SMA can vary widely. From severe respiratory issues to problems with walking and swallowing, like we talked about earlier. With your kids, how has that like impacted them? Well, you only have one in school right now, right?
The kindergarten.
Yeah.
Actually, all three of them.
Okay. So.
Yeah, we have an early start.
So, and again, getting back to the rec therapy, the big thing is socialization, getting kids involved. And it's great when they're younger, because let's face it, kids can be mean as you're growing up. But when they're younger, they're much more understanding. How are you seeing that with them going to school with other kids, and how's that working out for them?
Yeah, even play days.
Exactly.
Yeah. So school so far has been, like I say, great, because how you said, when they're younger, they're more understanding. And some of the kids, they get them in line like, hey, Derek, nope, you need to go here. But I also wonder, you know, as he get older, how would that look for him? Right now, I can't say, because, and I'm not sure exactly what all goes on in the classroom, but I do teach him to, you know, not be mean. However, it's still okay to defend yourself and take up for yourself. Let the teacher know, come home, let's try to talk to mom. And I talk to my kids every day. How was your day? How have your day been? Before we get on any tablets, any activities, we make sure we talk and ask them that, and give them love and say, hey, you're loved, and, you know, just speak positivity into them. But day to day, and as they get older, I'm not sure how that will look. That's a question that, you know, would just be at when it presents itself. But right now, we don't have them on like a special diet, but we do try to make sure they get their fruits, their vegetables. They're very, very picky as a child. So that's kind of hard. Right now, they do take in things pretty well, but nothing too greasy, because they do have sensitive stomachs.
Well, fortunately, treatment options have expanded in very recent years. And from what we have read, the three drugs, I think you mentioned two of them, have changed the prognosis for many patients. And those drugs work by boosting levels of SMN protein or replacing the faulty gene. But has the healthcare team talked about possibly gene, what is it, gene therapy or gene, editing the gene to try to help them through that avenue?
Yes. So as I mentioned, when they were all 1 month, they all received the Zolgensma, which the Zolgensma is just a one-time in gene therapy that they receive.
Okay.
And it will forever stay in their bodies and in their system.
Okay.
Spinraza, on the other hand, my 3-year-old, she does receive, but the first and the third child, they do. They receive that Spinraza every 4 months.
Okay. Okay. All right. Yeah, I was kind of curious whether or not that was an option for you. And so far,
yes.
your insurance has been able to absorb all of those extra costs for you?
Yes. Thank God.
Okay, good.
They most definitely.
Okay.
And then along with their therapy. So, yes, they're doing well. We're thankful that they're able to receive it. It wasn't easy at first. They had a few denials before they approved. But when we finally got it approved for Derek, and then now since it's kind of more common around the area as well, it's been pretty easier to get the insurance to improve other kids other than my family.
Okay, yeah. good.
How about we talked about insurance a little bit. Do they use any adapted or assisted devices for mobility at school or
like even a walker?
So not as of now. Derek, on the other hand, before he started walking, he was kind of cruising a little bit, so they did give him like a walker. Mm-hmm. But then after a while, he never got a chance to use it because he just started walking straight forward. So we still have that, and we kind of take it to the therapy clinic that we're at, and we let the kids, yeah, they use it.
Okay.
Now when he have his surgery, he will be out for about 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be his first introduction of a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Because he won't be able to walk for about 6 weeks.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And then once he heals, they're hoping that the surgery will like connect the hip where it needs to be to where he can hopefully walk straight.
Okay. All right.
Good.
Excellent. From what we've read, the SMA community is pretty tight-knit and incredibly supportive. Are you part of any of the support groups or advocacy groups that are out there online?
Well, their case manager, their neurologist, they are starting to connect me with families around. So I'm excited for that. And maybe, hey, in Mississippi, it will start with me. And then they have very, very wide conference that they do year round. I want to say this year, maybe in California.
Okay.
Last year it was in Texas. So I'm excited to hopefully be able to attend that convention next summer.
Okay.
And just get more information on everything, day-to-day life, because it's different for every child.
Right.
So
right.
Every outcome is different.
Sure. Thank you.
So a little earlier, sadly, you mentioned that your mom passed and she was your support for this. and my condolences to you and your family.
Thank you.
But with the rest of your family and your husband's family and your children's friends, how have they been? As far as support or, because this is obviously something that's affecting all of you. How has their support been for you to help you along this journey?
Well, luckily we do have a great support system. So far as like comforting words, it's very hard to trust people nowadays. So, hey, I kind of just maneuver. I go around my clients. I take care of my business when I can to make sure I'm there for my kids and with my kids. Because at in a minute, you don't know what may go on. So I'm just fortunate enough to have a more flexible schedule. So far as with friends and everyone else, like I say, with the other two, it does get frustrating at times, you know. So it's not like everything is just perfect. Especially with one, she's thriving, she's doing well. But with the other one, I mean, you know, they consider special needs. So we have to walk a little slower with him. We have to, you know, just do a lot. He feeds himself well, but it's still just a lot to take in. He's not nonverbal. He can't speak, but he's just delayed. But sometimes he may go in public and kind of yell here or do a little bit here. So it's a lot to get adjusted to. And, you know, you have the outside world. They're not knowing what you're going through. They just kind of see like, hey, what he has going on, or, you know, not knowing what they're thinking. So I'm glad that I never been that type of person to kind of care what other people think.
Good for you.
I just always been strong, and especially that, hey, this is my child, this is our kid, and we're going. And now, even when, you know, it's a small town, but when he go in the store now, they know, hey, Derek Brown, hey, Derek Jr.
Good.
And even at school, like, they know his name. So when you around and you're not new, people just get accustomed to what you're doing. You know, you never know what they say behind closed doors or anything. But at the moment, hey, they're loving, they're respectful, they understand, and they're helpful in even way. Even sometimes before I just kind of expanded my business, when I was first starting off and first having Derek, my clients, they used to help me a lot. Like, hey girl, I need my hair done, but I'm gonna keep doing it. And they pray over them. So you just build a family, you build a community within, and they tell them, and they treat them just like they say, hey, go sit down over here. And he comprehends, he understands. So that's why he comprehends very well. So don't limit him what he can and can't do. Try to push him, but of course, you know, we know his condition, because at the end of the day, you can't be in denial. It's reality.
Sure.
So that actually leads me into my next question. And I know every day is a new day and you're still learning, but you have also had some experience. What advice would you have to offer to other parents who are brand new to SMA, that they're just beginning their journey right now?
So most definitely to stay focused, try to be an advocate for your child, learn about their disability, about what they have going on, so you can ask those questions. And with doing his IEP and things, people would tell you what your child can and can't do. And no, we're not going to do that. He can do this. I record him every other day doing certain things. So what you say he can't do, I'm going to prove to you he can do. And we're going to continue to go forward to strengthen those things that he can. It's just been continue to fight for him. Continue to pray. A lot of prayer went into, you know, with my children. And I can look online, and it's not the same for everyone, you know, so everything is just different. And if your child may be in a worse or a better condition than mine, any encouraging words for them, let alone the parents, will make a difference. It makes you feel better. And I was in a grocery store, and someone came to me. I was talking about school life, and she just gave me a scripture and mentioned to me, hey, you're not in this alone. You have a support group. You have family. And you keep doing what you're doing. You keep fighting. You keep learning. And, you know, be the resources and the things that he needs and all my children need. And any, not even mine, just the community around us. And I'm so happy for the therapy sessions, because we have their support group as well. Take them to those therapy sessions. Let them meet them, because he can't play baseball and basketball like your normal or your typical child. But in those therapy sessions, they cater to the children to where the opportunities, they say, hey, he has T-ball practice today. Mm-hmm. He has baseball practice today. And it's with those group of kids, you know, and they need that support. And you should just see the smiles on their face. Mm-hmm. Even walking into hospitals, even with some of the nurses and the doctors, they have day-to-day life too. I've just heard stories to where, I'm grateful and I'm thankful for my kids, but however, it's a lot of children out here with it's plenty of diagnosis, plenty of things we do not know about, and they are living day-to-day lives. So I just give a smile, give encouraging words. And ask someone, hey, how can I be of help? How can I be of assistance? Because you never know how far that will go.
Right.
No, absolutely. I love that attitude.
Yeah.
And it's funny. I love hearing you talk about, like the T-ball and all that. Again, getting back to the rec therapy, and I still get involved, get my students, get others involved, up to and including we do adapted scuba diving for children and adults.
Like
And veterans with disabilities.
Right, and the water makes you,
right.
Once you're in the water, you don't have to use your muscles. It's a really a good environment.
Right. And
yes,
more
Derek
so,
loves the water.
I'm sorry?
Derek loves the water.
No,
yeah.
I was saying, Derek loves the water.
But it's also very good for the self-esteem, and it's amazing. But what I would suggest, and I'm not very familiar with Mississippi, is look to see if there's any therapeutic recreation in your area or in, one of the closer big cities, because there is a plethora of things out there. And one of the goals as a rec therapist is to make sure that you let folks know how much is out there and get them connected with people that can offer these activities and sports or anything out there that they might not be able to do in, regular class.
Right. You're right. Yes, sir. I most definitely will.
All right. Well, Giselle, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your story today. And helping us understand more about SMA from a personal perspective like yours. Are there any social media accounts that you would want to share with our audience?
Right now, just my first and last name, Giselle Brown.
Okay.
And I've been recording their journey, basically, for sure, Derek, for about 5 years now. And at one point, I wasn't sure if I was ready to just talk about it and talk about life. And now it's kind of like, hey, you've been put out there. Even this podcast is new for me, but his testimony will speak by itself. And he's a living, walking, and talking testimony. What the doctor said that he may not be able to do, he's doing it. And it may not be to the standard of, that normal day-to-day living, but, hey, he's moving along.
Okay.
So, yes, if you all would, it's just my first and last name, Giselle Brown.
And you're on,
and
you're
as
on
I
TikTok?
Upload, yes, TikTok will be the best.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
As I upload their journey and stuff, I pray to connect with other communities with SMA.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so, and to our listeners, thank you for joining us today. I'm not sure what happened with Jean.
Jean's taking care of a noisy dog.
But if you want to learn more about today's show, today's episode, you can find us on the web at podcastdx.com.
And as always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions that you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Till next week.